teachers. Thank you, everyone. And parents of children with nursery, TT is waiting for you there. So have a good morning, all you wonderful people. So just again, so we know our children's program for the nursery goes up to children who are age 1 to age 3. Then our Sunday school program, which is called Kids Zone, goes from children in JK to grade 4. And then our youth program today is with Daniel every other week and for kids who are grade 5 and up. And the great thing about the gathering church is that our youth also serve in the Sunday school area and in the nursery, and so it just becomes a really beautiful program out there. So we're really thankful for all who participate. Growing up, I loved to sing songs around a fire at summer camp or a youth group. And every so often, some of those early songs, they start coming back into my memory. And sometimes it starts with kind of a humming of the tune, and then slowly the words begin to return. And one of those sung by the campfire songs has returned to me during this series on transformation. And the words of the chorus to me are just a very beautiful and hopeful reminder of God's deep and loving investment in our lives. You may know this song. The chorus says, "He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me." So I recognize that there might be two ways of interpreting these lyrics. You could maybe sing it with an eye roll and think, oh man, God has had to be so patient working on me. Like, it just took him a week to make all of the galaxy, but wow, I still need this much work of refinement in my life. But my hope is today that that is not the interpretation that we want to lean into. Instead, I hope that we just move into this, lean into this song as just the beautiful ways of God, that God sees us and he has this beautiful, perfected image of us in his mind. And just like a parent or a good friend or a teacher who becomes a mentor, God just continues to invest in us and invest in us to transform us into his goodness and into his glory. Philippians 2 speaks to this, where Paul says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Think about that. That we are God's vessels, that we are God's children, that he calls us his beloved, and that it is God who is working in us to fulfill his good work and his purposes. His eyes are on us, his heart is for us, and he continues to do a work of formation in us. And then Philippians 2 continues, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Again, as God does transformative work within us, he has a purpose, he has a goal. And this is for us to shine like the stars, to be bright works, not to be dull or to be hidden, not to be kind of always just lugging through life. But he desires to transform us for his good and his purposes, so that we might shine like stars in the sky. We are reminded from last week's sermon that we can create the conditions of transformation to take place, but it is God that does the work of transforming in our lives. And again, these beautiful verses from Philippians 2, they show us the results of opening ourselves up to God, who works in us, in our transformation, and again, so that we will become like stars in the sky. Living into what we want in any area of our life requires some sort of intentional approach. If you want to learn something new, if you want to figure out how to cook something, make something, be able to speak about something, do something new, we want to set our minds intentionally on being able to do that. last spring, I decided I would take a watercolor painting class here at Chandler Mowat Center with Deanna and Debbie, and I just thought that I would be really awesome at watercolors. I'm not sure why, but I thought I would be really, really good, and I wasn't. And I would keep saying in the middle of the class, oh, I thought I'd be good at this. And the teacher would say to me, Catherine, it's because you need to lean into the process and listen to the things that I'm teaching you about. And it was important for me to say, this is something that I want to be able to do, but I can't do it like that. I need to open myself to listening and to learning and putting into practice these certain things or skill sets that will help me become better at my watercoloring. And so this is the same way that we in our own lives, that we can create a space for God's transforming work in us. It's saying yes to spiritual transformation. It really says, God, if you made the galaxy and you say that you're working on me, then I need to say yes to that. And yes can come in many, many different ways. And it's really unique to each person. And so this morning I've asked Terry and Amanda separately, and they're going to share with us ways that they have joined in saying yes to God to allow works of transformation in their lives. So the gift that I've been given is Terry as my wonderful husband. The gift he wasn't given is being asked by me to speak. I realize I put him through a little bit of a ringer this week. So Terry, we're so thankful that you're going to come up and share.
All right, I will. I just want to make sure this sounds right before I leave here. Yeah, you're off. So earlier this week, when Catherine asked me if I would mind speaking, being at the front, I said no, and I said it immediately. I didn't think for 2 seconds before the no was out of my mouth. And to give you a little bit of background, I had an agreement with Jim, this goes back many years, that I would do anything about making something for up here as long as he didn't put me up here. And I never thought that that would be something I would need to negotiate at home. However, after saying no, I'm here. And this conversation really started maybe a couple weeks ago around a poem, and it was one that Susanna read. And as I went home, or we went home, portions of the poem sat with me. And as my voice cracks, I'm just going to keep going. I'm not going to read the whole poem, but essentially the poem was "Not Yet." And it starts with, "I almost said I can't today. It sat on the tip of my tongue." Later it goes on to say, "Instead of I can't, I whispered not yet." So that idea of not yet is what landed on me. Not yet, I've felt many times in my life. Actually, no has become to be replaced with not yet. So no was early in my life, and I have transitioned into understanding God's call and moving the no to a not yet, and what are we working on? The question that it leads me to is, what bridges the not yet to I'm ready? And as Catherine sort of set this out for today, she would know that I would be okay talking in front of a group if I was talking about something technical, if there was something physical that I was doing, and hence the wood. I'm sure if you walked in and you saw Sander, you might have connected the dots to me being here. You would know that I have a shop that I've built. I'm fortunate enough to make things in my shop, and I've spent many, many hours making things. And I'm going to talk really in the transforming sense about something very physical, and you can, maybe Catherine will bridge the gap to what we are physically. I've often found that when I'm making something, thinking about something, you can't ever really know for sure what is inside a piece of wood if you're working with, what it's going to look like when it's done, when you look at the raw material. What's inside is rarely really that evident based on what you see. And so not that, but really what you see on the outside is often hiding what's inside, and really only the process of transforming it through many processes, but sanding is one of them, and sanding is what I'm going to talk about. As I build things in my shop, and as I have gone through the process of laying things out and designing and then cutting and shaping, I'm often surprised at what look it takes on. And usually when I get to a point of having made something, I want another set of eyes to come and look at what I've made. So I often invite Catherine to come out and look at what I've done. And she will often give her enthusiastic praise of what it is. There it is. But I really want her to see it and give me an idea. Is it fine the way it is, or are things that need to be changed? Is it in the right direction? And in that process, it looks very close to done. It looks quite functional. It's nowhere near done. And so when she leaves and we have an idea of what path I'm on, I then begin to sand. And sanding for me is a process of taking something, and I don't know how much you can see, but there's still saw marks on this area of the wood, and it's not very clear what's underneath it. So for me, sanding is a process of taking it from not ready for where it will be, what it will look like, where it will be used, to being finished and done. And so I start with a piece of wood in an area where it needs to be sanded, and I sand. And probably you can't tell, but there's really very much, not very much different in what I've just done. But the process for me is a very long one. I sand for hours and hours and hours. And if I did that this morning, you'd be here for a long time with me. So to save you a little bit of that, I just want to give you a sense of what happens in the process of sanding. I start with a very rough grit, and I sand until all of the imperfections on that piece of wood are gone. I sand until it's smooth. That's probably the longest thing I do. And when that level is done, I usually use 120 grit paper and sand for hours. It will actually look and feel smooth. It will look like it's pretty good. But the truth is, there's still a lot of sanding marks and roughness and grooves that are in it from the paper that I just used. So the next step is to go over the very same process with a higher grit. I go to 150, and then 180, and then 220, and sometimes higher than that, sometimes 320. I want the surface to be completely free of anything that you can see. I want it to be perfect. The time that you spend sanding becomes evident in the finish when it's all done. This is where the transforming takes place. And in the very physical sense, you wind up with a beautiful finished product. I would like to leave it there, but living with a person who asks questions, the question she asked me when I was done is, how does that apply in your life? Where is transformation in your life? So this is where it lands for me. As I said earlier, I regularly say no. At least I did. I said no a lot. And transforming, I mean, you would think that based on what I do, that this would be very natural for me. But natural for me is a technical skill, and this is not. And so where I land is being able to say, I always feel like when God calls me to something, which is, I need you to talk to somebody, I need you to take on a task, I need you to change your behavior. My response often is, there's got to be a better person than me. There's got to be a more appropriate skill set than mine. I'm not the person. There's better choices. So that's my internal voice. And what I've learned is God saying, no, I want you. I want you to do it. So my no has become a not yet, which has become an okay. What do I have to do? What sanding work are we going to do to get me there? Because if you want me to do this, I'm not ready, and I will. So that's where I land. I stop saying, I'm not the one you want, and say, okay. And I believe this is one of the ways that God works in our lives to change and shape who we are.
I asked Terry to speak because often I know that he's brewing on something or he's working on a change when I find him out in the shop a lot. And it is this process of sanding and refining. And how beautiful it is to think of God starting with something maybe rough, not rough on us, but he has different grades and different grades and different grades of sanding. And so we become these beautiful, smooth, we're able to see that which is hidden under that which is rough. If you want to, at the end, if you're a touch person, you can see how rough this wood starts, and then it's been sanded in different ways. So you're welcome to come up and see that, to touch that and explore that, and to know that all throughout our lives, we will enter into periods again where, ooh, that's a little rough in me right now. And I invite God to come in and do some sanding and smoothing because it's revealing the beautiful gift of that which God has planted, created within us to be. One of the transformational verses that I return to often in Scripture is found in Philippians 4:8. And the verse says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about, dwell on these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So I think memorizing Scripture is a wonderful thing to be able to do, and I'm just not very good at it. I'm not a good memorizer, but this is one passage of Scripture that I have memorized. And the reason I have memorized this is I want it to come quickly to my mind and to my heart when my mind goes off course and gets stuck. William Barclay is a theologian, and he wrote this. He said, the human mind will always set itself on something. And Paul wished to be quite sure that the Philippians would set their minds on the right things. This is something of the utmost importance because it becomes like a law of life, that if a person thinks of something often enough, then that person will come to the stage when he or she cannot stop thinking about it, that person's thoughts will quite literally get into a groove which they can't jump out of. They will just stay in that groove. And so therefore, it is of great importance that we set our thoughts upon fine things. And here, Paul makes a beautiful list of them. In Romans 12:2, we're invited to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this verse from Philippians helps my mind to be renewed in a time of maybe complaint, or in a time where I might be in a conflict, or in a time when I am in a time of deep worry, and all I can think of is that which I'm worried about. And so Paul invites us to think about such things, to dwell upon these things that are pure and that are lovely. And we're invited to just bring those over and over and over again to our mind. Colossians tells us to set our mind on things that are above, not things that are on earth. And so this morning, because we're talking about practical ways or ways that we integrate transformation into our own spiritual lives, I'll tell you a couple ways that I use this. If Terry and I happen to have a difference of opinions, or we happen to have a little breakdown in our relationship, this verse from Philippians 4:8 has been very, very, very helpful to me. I like to think that I'm right, And if I'm right, then that naturally means that the other person is wrong. And so this verse helps me to shift out of that. And so if this happens to be in a little bit of a conflict with Terry or with someone else, what I will do is I will take this verse and I will use it as an exercise. I will set my mind upon these things. So I would say to myself, finally, Catherine, whatever is true about Terry, think on these things. And I make a list about Terry. Terry wouldn't want to cause me any harm. Terry is a deeply loving spouse. I can go through my list. Whatever is noble about Terry, so his integrity or his kindness, whatever is right about Terry, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. And what I do is I actually do this as an exercise that I go through these things. And it, by the end of it, what I recognize is I have a right view, a view that God has of Terry, and it allows my mind to be transformed, and then the peace of God is able to come into my heart, and I'm able to lead with that back into our relationship. Another way that I use this is a time of worry. So you might know, have experienced that in a time of worry, we do get stuck, as William Barclay says, into this groove where all we can see is the thing or the things that are causing us anxiety. And we, by nature, we keep going down that. And instead, in a time of worry or anxiety, we're really trying to shift our mind. It's really tricky for our mind to be thinking about two things at the same time. And so when we're in the course of worry, we're thinking about those things that could go wrong, those things that are upsetting, those things we don't have control of. But we begin to enter into these thoughts as well. What is true? Could be that God is with me, that God will make a new way in the wilderness. What is lovely? God's presence with me right now. What is admirable? That we have the opportunity to be in community and to find others who might support me through this. And so again, this transformation is setting myself up with God for God to do the work of transformation in my thought life. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is a really long list. And I believe it's a long list because God wants us to enter into a longer action of transformation. Where if we just think about good things, we might think about two things and be done. But as we go deeper and deeper and deeper into this list, we begin to see the beauty that is all around us. And so I invite us to be people of faith who allow our minds to be transformed, because God is in the business of renewing our minds to that which is acceptable and that which is perfect. And so that is one way I encourage us to be open to the transformational work of God. I'm going to invite Amanda up, and she is also going to use her great gifts to show us about ways of transformation in her life.
Hi, friends. I'm glad to be here with you. And like Terry said, I'm always like, nope, quick to say no. I could sing it easily, but to speak it is a whole different story. So I'm doing a mixture of both. So compromise. Catherine invited me to share a little something about transforming something. Knowing that I'd recently been involved in an Anabaptist songwriting retreat this past spring. What a privilege it was to be with songwriters from around North America with different world ethnic backgrounds. We all came together to accomplish the same goal, to create music for a world that desperately needs it. The first day I arrived, I was immediately drawn to Julia, a woman from Winnipeg that also joined the retreat. I was drawn to her because of her social work background, working with the marginalized, specifically women who experienced trauma. Through our single moms program at Hidden Acres, where I live and work, I too walk alongside women who have experienced much. Right away, we clicked, and bonded over the same thoughts, wonderings, and questions around contemporary music within the church and how we desire more being written through a trauma-informed lens. Songs that feel welcoming, safe, and real, allowing space to just be. Often for me, contemporary music is written in a way that says, you do this, and this, and this, and this, and then at the end, this happens. But my question is, what if it doesn't? What if we need more songs that just simply invite us into the presence of God with open hands, trusting that God sits with us in all of our suffering? The mystery of God for me means sometimes our prayers are not answered in our lifetime. I want people to know that because of that, their faith is not weak or invalid. I also want them to know that where certainty comes in for me is the fact that God never leaves us alone and promises to walk alongside whatever we are carrying, feeling all the feelings we're feeling, holding all of our tears. So as I reflect on Catherine asking me to talk about transforming something, first I think of my faith being transformed mostly because of the times I've sat with those who are different than me, hearing their stories. Secondly, by participating in the songwriter's retreat, a song was born or transformed. Julia, the woman I mentioned in the beginning, had some of the verses put together and really struggled with the rest. And we connected during a collaborative free writing session and had the song finished in 30 minutes. A song that speaks of suffering in a gentle way. A song that gives permission to be humble, vulnerable, and to open our hands instead of keeping our fists clenched so tightly in a way that felt similar to my faith in the past. My time during that retreat felt like heaven on earth, a room full of people of different ethnic and theological backgrounds, birthing music for a world that needs it on so many levels. It's encouraged me to wonder how to continue to move forward in worship and how we can do that in new and effective ways, especially for those who have endured trauma. Before I sing the song for you, I wanted to share with you some words from Julia. She says, I think about conversations we had around the need for songs with a trauma-informed lens. I think this song speaks to that in that it looks at suffering and harm that we experience in life, and it invites us into the resource that God calls us into, stillness, that welcomes us into God's abundant peace and enduring love for us, even when we can't find the words or actions to get there ourselves. This song reminds us that we are held, secure and safe to be still with open hands. What can feel like a vulnerable thing to do, we can access this peace, this source of refuge and reassurance in even the most challenging and painful of experiences. So what if we, instead of needing concrete answers and certainty, can be okay with simply opening our hands as an act of saying, God, I give this to you, trusting you have it. May we always hear in those moments, be still and know that I am God. Could that maybe invite transformation into all of our lives?
Season of suffering, my plea is my offering. Lord, help me, longing for mercy, the crumbs from enough to satisfy longing for mercy.
Thank you, Amanda. I really deeply celebrate that you are the author of a song and that we're singing it as your congregation. So we talk a lot about practices. Amanda and Terry have walked us through different practices that they bring into their lives. And one that we can do in our own lives is we can go from a posture of clenching our fists or holding our, not maybe clenching, with our fists closed, maybe sometimes clenching. And just this practice before God of going with our hands like this and then saying, but God, I open myself to your works of transformation. So we go from a closed fist to saying, God, I open myself to your works of transformation. If you'd like to try that with me, I invite you to do that. It's a good practice because it's teaching our mind to be in touch with our bodies as well. It's a posture before God. So we come with closed fists, and then we open them and we say, God, we're open to your work of transformation. Let's try it again, and I'll be quiet. We're going to close our fists, and when you are ready, open your hands. God, thank you that as we posture ourselves with open hands before you, that you are good. And that you are kind. And you are loving. And that with our open hands, we can be just assured that you will give to us those things that are good and that are kind and that will transform us into stars shining bright within the beauty of your galaxy. So may we be courageous because you are gentle and brave because you invite us into beautiful works of transformation. May we go from closed fist to open hands with the acknowledgement that we say yes to your beautiful works of transformation. Thank you that you continue to work on us gently, kindly, with good purpose for our benefits and for your glory. Amen. If you're able, please stand for our last song.
Peace be still, you are near. There's nowhere we can go.